Welcome to my message today on fight for your focus. Fight for your focus. This is part of a series I'm doing right now called The Fight. The Fight. And we're talking about battles that matter the most and winning those battles. And one of the battles is the battle when it comes to your focus in life. It is a battle. And bottom line is God wants us to focus on things that really do matter, things that are of eternal nature. And yet our attention many times is drawn to things, honestly, they simply don't matter. And so today I'm going to talk about how do you keep your focus where it needs to be? How do you keep your focus on the things of God? So welcome to this message. Welcome to this series. And today we're going to look at another what I call fight Bible passage. And in this series, we're looking at six different passages in the Bible that speak directly to this idea of fight. And our key verse for the series is 2 Timothy 4:7 A, where the Apostle Paul says, "I have fought the good fight." You see, the Apostle Paul had it right. He described life as it really is. It is a fight. Let's be real. It is a struggle every single day in every single way. And Paul says, as he came to the end of his life, he says, "My life and my legacy is I fought, and I fought a good fight." That's what you want to do. We all want to do. Fight a good fight. And one area you need to fight a good fight is when it comes to focus. When it comes to focus. And today our fight Bible passage is 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27. And I want to read right now verse 26. And that's our key verse for the sermon. And then we're actually going to work our way through this entire passage. But here the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9, verse number 26, 1 Corinthians 9, 26, he says, "Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty, thus I fight, not as one who beats the air." So here the Apostle Paul is using the example, the illustration of sports. And in this one verse, he actually combines two different sports. And there's a lot of good lessons you can learn from sports. And he first of all talks about racing. And he talks about when a person is in a race, they have focus. They have focus, and they don't run with uncertainty. They're running for that finish line. I mean, they know where that finish line is, and that's exactly what they're focused on. Going to, okay? They're not wanting to swerve around and go over here and go over there. No, it's a straight shot to that finish line. There's a focus. And then he uses the illustration of boxing. And that's actually the graphics that we're using for this series, the idea of a boxer. Because a lot of times when we think about a fight, we tend a lot of times to think about that sport. And Paul brings up that sport when he says, "Thus I fight not as one who beats the air." And so when a person is boxing, I mean, they are, you know, they have a goal too, right? And their goal is to knock out their opponent, right? That is what they're focused on. That is what they're trying to do, or at least win by points and have the best jabs and all that kind of good stuff when it comes to fighting. But the idea is you're not swinging at the air, okay? You know what your opponent is, and that's your focus. You're trying to hit your opponent as a boxer. And so Paul is saying this is how we ought to live our lives. We ought to live our lives with focus in life. So what is the number one enemy of focus? And, you know, there's a lot of enemies of focus, but I think the number one enemy is wastefulness. Wastefulness. You see, Satan wants you to waste your life. I mean, that's what he's about. He doesn't want you to live a life of focus and eternal things. He wants you wasting your life on things that don't matter. And one example of this is what's called the prodigal son. Remember the story of this son who asked his father for his inheritance. He took that inheritance from his father, and the Bible says he went out and he wasted it. Listen to what Luke 15:13 says. "And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. Oh, what a sad story this is, okay? What a sad, sad story. But you know, it's easy for all of us to do this right. I mean, this prodigal son wasted his possessions with prodigal living. That's ungodly living. Just riotous, you know, out of control, just totally worldly, totally fleshly living. And the key word there is wasted. Wasted. And that's our number one enemy of focus. That we will get focused on things that don't matter and waste our life. And there's a little quote I heard that goes all the way back to when I was in Bible college, which was many years ago, but it stuck with me. And here's how it goes. Only one life, so soon it will pass, and only what is done for Christ will last. And that statement was actually part of a song that my wife was in a singing group, and they would sing a song with those lyrics there. And boy, it just really has stuck in my heart. Only one life. We only got one life. So soon it's going to pass. And only what's done for Christ will last. Hey, keep your focus on eternal things. Keep your focus on things that will last. Last forever. Well, easier said than done, right? I mean, we're talking about a battle today, because it's not easy to do what we're talking about today. But let's dive into this passage and let's talk about how to fight for your focus. Paul was a man who was focused. And in this passage, he reveals to us some things that we can do, some actions that we can take to live a focused life. And so let's look at this. Number one, listen to this. Let go of your past. Let go of your past. Let me read 1 Corinthians 9:24. It says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it." Now, what do you see in that verse? Well, we're going to look at that in point number two, which is run for the prize. But what you don't see in that verse is you don't see Paul talking about anything in the past. He's not dwelling on history. He's not dwelling on regret. He's not dwelling on things of the past. A focused life is not a life that's looking in the rear view window. A focused life is a forward-thinking life. And that's what that verse is talking about. It's talking about that next race and running that race and winning the prize. You see, a focused life doesn't dwell on the past, but looks to the future. A focused life doesn't dwell on the past, but looks to the future. One of the parts of the battle that we're going to have in life, and we all struggle with this. I do, and I'm sure you do too. It is to think about the past and the things you woulda, coulda, shoulda done, and regrets that you have in your life, and sins and times you didn't make the right decisions in your life. And what the enemy wants us to be doing is to be looking in that rear view window, filled with regret, filled with guilt. But listen, a focused life, you just can't do it that way. There's a wonderful verse in the Bible that puts it this way. Philippians 3:13-14. This is also the Apostle Paul, by the way, writing this. He says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead." And you might say, Pastor Steve, he says that one thing I do, then he mentions two things. No. What he's saying is it's all one thing. The bottom line, it's not two things, it's one thing. You forget what's behind. You're reaching forward, all right? You're putting your past, in your past. And he says, I'm reaching forward to what's ahead. And specifically, verse 14 says, "I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." He says, what I am focused on is the future. And specifically, he says, I'm focused on what he calls the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now, there's debate about what that means. What is the upward call? But here's what I believe it is. I believe it's what we're going to talk about in the second point, and that is that upward call in Christ Jesus is to hear that call, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I believe that's what that passage is talking about. That you're forgetting what's behind, you're reaching for what's ahead, and you're pressing, I love that word, pressing forward for that upward call which is in Christ Jesus. Listen, are you focused on the future? Are you focused on the current race you're running? Are you focused on the current boxing match that you're in? And one great promise concerning this is 1 John 1:9, where it says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. My. Where would we be without this beautiful verse? Because we all have a common problem. It's called sin, right? We've all gotten our focus on the wrong thing before. That's called sin. But praise God, we don't have to live with guilt. We don't have to live with regret. We have a God in heaven who is faithful. He's just, and He will forgive us our sins, and He will cleanse us from all unrighteousness by us simply doing this. Confess your sins to God. Confess your sins to God. And listen, we've all sinned. We've all blown it. We've all messed up. We've all gotten off track. We've all lost our correct focus. And what we got to do is we got to put that with the Lord, and we have to say, God, I sinned. I was wrong. Please forgive me. Going back to that prodigal son, it's a beautiful picture of our relationship with God. He did come to his senses. He did humble himself. He did go to his father and ask for forgiveness for his prodigal living. And that's a picture of what God, listen, does with us. Don't live with regret. Don't live with guilt. And you say, you're really drilling this point hard, aren't you, Pastor Steve? I sure am, because I believe it's probably the number one area of focus where we get off track. Because I know the enemy, I know Satan, wants you living in the past. You can't do that. Focus on the future. Number two, run to win. Run to win. Now, we're going to do something we rarely do. We're going to read the same verse. I just wanted to show you the first time, hey, it's forward thinking. But now let's look at what the verse says. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. So I got great news for you. Okay. So this is talking about like the Olympic Games. I believe this is what Paul has in his mind, the Greek Games. And you know, when it came to that kind of race, you had one winner, right? The gold medal or whatever winner. The good thing about the Christian life is that there's not just one winner, okay? We can all win the prize. We can all win the prize. And the Bible tells us, run in such a way that you may obtain it. And so here we're talking about a focused life anticipates and prepares for the judgment seat of Christ. So the prize. How do you run to win the prize? The judgment seat of Christ. You ever heard the statement, begin with the end in mind? I think about that a lot. You know, even like this sermon, I think about what I want the end to look like when I'm done with this sermon, okay? You gotta live with the end in mind, meaning the end of standing before God in the judgment seat of Christ. It's not the end because you'll be in heaven for eternity, but the idea is you're living your life anticipating that one day you're going to stand before what's called the judgment seat of Christ. And here's what the Bible says, 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. So there's a multiple judgments in the Bible. The two, what I would call the big ones, are, one's called the Great White Throne Judgment. The Great White Throne Judgment. And that's a judgment for unbelievers. And they'll be judged for their sin, and sadly, they'll be cast into hell. This is a different judgment. This is called the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema judgment. We often refer to it as the Bema judgment. And it says all of us, meaning all Christians, are going to have to appear at that judgment. The purpose of this is not to judge our sin. When you are saved, your past, your present, even your future sin is forgiven. You are in the righteousness of Jesus. All right? You're in the righteousness of Jesus. But we're going to stand at this judgment for the purpose of reward. Of reward. And the Bible talks about different crowns that we can cast at the foot of Jesus, the feet of Jesus, and how we need to strive for those crowns. And we're going to receive the things done in the body, whether they were good or whether they were bad. And so the ultimate thing that is the prize is this right here. You want to focus on this right here. You want to focus your life, rivet your life on this moment when you stand before the Lord. And here is what you need to focus on. You want to hear, and here's the prize, these words. His Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." You want to hear, the prize is to hear, "Well done. You were a good and you were a faithful servant." Focus on that prize. The prize of the judgment seat of Christ. Live your life with the end in mind of knowing you're going to stand before the Lord. But that's not all. Number three, you got to go all in. You got to go all in. You got to make your focus all in. He goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 9:25, "And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown." So Paul is contrasting here. The difference is that, you know, as we're, you know, so-called athletes, if you will, for the Lord, you know, athletes on earth receive a crown, but it's a perishable crown, meaning it's only going to be temporary, right? It's only going to be temporary. It's going to lose its luster. It's going to lose its joy. It's going to lose, you know, so honestly, sadly, it might take a few decades, but honestly, probably be thrown away eventually, okay, by somebody along the line. But we as Christians, we're seeking to obtain an imperishable crown. We're going after something that lasts forever. Forever. That's the crowns that we receive in heaven before the Lord. And Paul says that, listen, they do it to obtain an imperishable crown. But listen, what's a perishable crown rather. They do it to obtain a perishable crown. But he says they're temperate in all things. What does that word temperate mean? Controlled. 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 You see, athletes, you know, I mean, if you really get into a sport, I mean, it truly impacts all of your life, okay? And I can relate to this only in the sense of, mainly in the sense of playing college football. And I thank God that, you know, I went to 4 years of college fully scholarship, fully paid for, which is a blessing. I thank God for that. But let me tell you something. I earned it, okay? I mean, they literally take over your life, okay? I mean, there's nothing about your life that they aren't involved in, okay? That whether it's your grades in school, whether it's your nutrition, your exercise, even your sleep and everything else, okay? That's what athletes do, okay? They're temperate in all things. And what the Lord is saying here through His Word is, be like those athletes. Go all in. You see, a focused life requires, listen, dedication and spirit control in all things. A focused life requires dedication and spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit control in all areas. Go all in. Paul said in Romans 12:1, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies." How are we to present our bodies? Number one, a living sacrifice. Number two, holy. And number three, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. We're to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, sacrificing our lives, losing our lives for Him, giving up our desires, our hopes, our plans, giving them all to the Lord to do His will. He wants our bodies to be holy, presented to Him holy. Do only what's acceptable to God, only what's pleasing to God. Dedication. Go all in. Give God your everything. But listen, we praise God. We have supernatural help to do that. And that is Galatians 5:16 says, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you focused life is a Spirit-filled life. To walk in the Spirit means to yield to the Holy Spirit. To allow the Holy Spirit to be the president of your life. The president of your life. We need God to help us. We need to pray, Holy Spirit, fill me. Holy Spirit, control me. Holy Spirit, take control of my life. I want to walk in the Spirit. I want to live according to what God has for me. That's part of your focus. There's got to be dedication. There's got to be Spirit controlled. There's also, number four, got to be aim to do God's will. Aim to do God's will. And here we come to our key verse for today. 1 Corinthians 9:26. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. And again, like I said earlier, there's two sports listed here, running and boxing. And both of them have a specific aim. The runner is aiming for the finish line, and the boxer is focused on landing the punch, right? You know, on the body or knock the person out, whatever. Okay, they're not swinging in the air. Okay, boxers don't swing in the air. If they do, they missed what they were aiming for. Okay, their goal is to make contact with the opposition's body in some form or fashion. And what we learn here is a focused life accomplishes clearly defined God-given goals. A focused life accomplishes clearly defined, and here's the key phrase, God-given goals. Your aim and your focus is to do God's will. Not your will, but God's will. Ephesians 5 says, see then that you walk circumspectly, that means vertically with God, up and down with God, not as fools, that means horizontal living, but be wise. Be wise. Wisdom is seeing things from an eternal perspective. That's what wisdom means. And part of that is your time management, redeeming the time because of the days of evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but here it is, understand what the will of the Lord is. Understand what the will of the Lord is. I'm not saying it's always easy to know God's will, but listen, that's what you're always aiming for. God, what is your will? What do you want me to do? How do you want me to serve you? How do you want me to live for you? Aim to do God's will. Focus your life on the will of Almighty God. And then number five, as I close, overcome fatal attractions. Overcome fatal attractions. You see, the enemy wants to get you off focus. And really what the enemy wants you to do is to be like that prodigal and to go live in sin and waste your life. And there's all kinds of what I call fatal attractions that divert us from God's focus. 1 Corinthians 9:27, Paul says, but I discipline my body and I bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become, listen to this, disqualified. So again, going back to sports, there's rules in sports, right? And some athletes break rules and they get disqualified, right? They might take enhancing drugs or who knows what they might do, okay? And they get caught and they get kicked out. They get, or maybe on a smaller note, maybe they break a rule in a game and they get penalized or whatever. But the idea there is, you're out of here, okay? You're disqualified. And Paul is warning us that, wow, if we don't discipline our bodies and bring our bodies in subjection, when we preach to others, we ourselves can become disqualified. And it's talking about that D word, discipline. Discipline. Tell your body what it's going to do, not your body telling you what it's going to do. You discipline your body. You tell your body, you say, you're going to be in subjection. Okay. You're not going to rule me. You're not going to control me. And so what this tells us is this: a focused life practices spiritual disciplines for living pure. A focused life practices spiritual disciplines for living pure. You have to, it says, discipline your body. And I'll just give you very quickly two spiritual disciplines. And they're kind of tied together, but it's the idea that, listen, we're going to sin sometimes. Let's be totally honest. Let's be totally real. It's going to happen. The question is, do you continue in your sin? And listen, a focused life doesn't continue in sin. I always like to say the time of your sin and the time of the confession of your sin needs to be as close as possible. Ideally, it ought to be immediately. Okay? It's not whether I'm going to sin. I'm going to sin. The question is, will I deal with that sin? Will I deal with that sin? Because if you don't, you're going to become disqualified. And in Hebrews 12:1, it talks about, again, the idea of running a race. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Okay, the discipline is to lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. A discipline we ought to have is to lay aside the weights, to lay aside the sin that easily ensnares us. One of the things you got to discipline yourself to do is when the weight of sin comes on you, you got to lay it aside as quickly as possible. And closely linked in with that is 2 Timothy 2:21. It says, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself, okay, the discipline is to cleanse yourself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Listen, God wants to use us, but he wants us to be usable. And part of that is keeping yourself clean. Are there any fatal attractions that are causing you to sin and to stay in sin? Don't do that, okay? Don't do that. Focus your life. It's a battle. It is a battle between right and wrong, between good and evil, but it's a fight we got to win. It's a fight for our focus. I want to close with a statement I read one time, and I don't know where I got this from. It wasn't me. I should be giving credit to somebody here, but I don't remember who it was. So just know I didn't make this up. Okay. It says, in a 70-year lifetime, an average heart beats more than 2.5 billion times. This means that it beats about 100,000 times in one day. Think about that. Your heart beats 100,000 times in one day and about 35 million times in a year. With every beat, time will pass on by that you can never regain. You can never regain it. Our days are numbered, and each one that passes becomes gone forever. You only get one shot at life. Don't waste it. Your heart's beating right now. One day your heart's going to stop. It's going to beat no longer. This uses the example of 70 years. It might be less than that. It might be more than that. But the idea there is life is going by. It's going by fast. And there's an eternity ahead. And what you want to do is you want to put your focus on that. Focus on that. It's a battle, but focus on eternity. Psalm 90, verse 12, I'll close with this, says, so teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Number your days. Make every day count for God. Only one life. So soon it will pass. Only what's done for Christ is going to last.